We're looking at the subject of sanctification. And the word sanctification, we'll see it in just a minute, the idea of being set apart. Let's notice, first of all, the concept of sanctification. First of all, what we call positional sanctification. Now, sanctification is the idea of being set apart. In fact, that basic meaning of sanctify, and there aren't too many words like this, okay? But the basic meaning of sanctify in both testaments, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is to be set apart. It has the same basic root in both Old and New Testaments as the words translated saint and holy, which is also unusual. The word saint is an individual who has been set apart at salvation. It is a saint. A saint is not someone with a halo over their heads, you know. A saint is not someone who is to be worshipped. No, we are all saints who know Christ. We have all been set apart at salvation. So there is that term saint. Then there's the term holy. God says, be holy, for I'm holy. Old Testament, New Testament, both have the idea of to be set apart. By the way, people talk about, you Baptists, you fundamental Baptists, you're separatist. That's what the Bible tells us. Being holy has the idea of being separate. All of us who want to live for Christ should be separatists. And you know what? That includes my separation from the world. It includes my from worldly things. It includes my separation from ungodly teachings and practices. So it's all part of the same thing. And God wants me to be separate. So again, sanctify, saint, holy, all from the same root, Old Testament, New Testament. And we'll say more about this as we proceed on. So the concept then of sanctification is that of being separate. And then we look at the aspects of sanctification. That's what I jumped on a little early here. First of all, positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. When I say positional sanctification, the word positional, the idea of position is there. It is my position before God. It is my standing before God. So this is positional truth. Remember, we talked about justification. That's positional truth. This also is positional truth. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26, please. Acts chapter 26. I think I have this one on here. Acts 26 and verse 18. Acts 26 and verse 18. Go back up to excuse me, verse 14. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister, and a minister, and to appoint you a minister, and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Excuse me. right, so we see here positional sanctification in verse 18. They may receive forgiveness of sin, inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith. So the moment I trust Christ, I am separated. I am sanctified, separated to the Lord Jesus Christ as his child. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. By the way, there's the word saint as well. With all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So when a person is saved, we can refer to them as being sanctified. Positionally, they are set apart. We'll speak more of that in just a minute. Verse 30. Of this same chapter, verse 30. Let's see where to go. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness, notice, and sanctification and redemption. Once again, positional sanctification. The moment I trust Christ as Savior. Chapter 6 of this book and verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, the moment you were saved, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So this involves, again, my position before God. When I was saved, I was permanently set apart as a member of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, notice that Paul, when he calls them saints, is addressing whom? In where? Where were they? Corinth. When you think of Corinth, do you think of good, fine Christian people, an outstanding church that had a great testimony? I mean, do you think of that? Do you think positive thoughts of Corinth? Or do you think more negative thoughts when you think of Corinth? More negative, isn't it? We think of the term carnal as it refers to the Corinthians. And so notice that these individuals who were carnal, no question about it. In fact, Paul takes time in that book and lots of space to rebuke them for various things. Paul is addressing the carnal Christians, and he addresses them as sanctified with all of their sinful attitudes, with all of their sinful actions. Paul addresses them as those who are sanctified. Again, this is positional truth. It is equally true for every single believer. It matters not whether the believer is mature or immature or living obediently or living disobedient. The fact is that we are all who know Jesus Christ separated as a member of God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. As an aside, once again, notice that saved people can be carnal. this lordship salvation error that is out there today, or what I like to call commitment salvation. There are many people in this movement that would say it's an impossibility to have a carnal Christian. Well, that's strange. As I look at the book of 1 Corinthians, I can't help but see that there are genuine believers. He's not questioning whether they're saved. He begins the whole book by identifying them as sanctified, as being in Christ, as being believers, as being saints. But notice what he says about them, that they are carnal in this book. And in 1 Corinthians, we see the natural man, literally the soulish man, What is the natural man? Who is the natural man? Is he a believer, unbeliever? He's an unbeliever, right? He's a person without the Spirit. He is a soulish man. He is an unsaved person. Chapter 2, verse 15 also mentions he that is spiritual. And he is a person possessing and governed by the Spirit of God. Spiritual maturity is also indicated in this concept as well. So you have the natural man, in other words, a person who's unsaved. You have the spiritual man or the individual that has not the Spirit of God. Or number three, or has the Spirit of God, rather. Number three, then we have the carnal individual. And that is an individual who is living to satisfy his bodily desires. Chapter 3, verse 3. So those are the three individuals. Now the carnal person is still a believer. But he's a believer who's not acting very much like one. And obviously this individual needs to get right with God. There were quite a few of those apparently in Corinth. And Paul is rebuking carnality there in Corinth. So anyhow, positional sanctification. J. Vernon McGee says about this, "The Lord Jesus Christ is our sanctification, and all that he is has been made over to us. The moment you trust Christ, you are made accepted in the Beloved, and you have as much right in heaven as he has, because you have his right. All of his worth, all of his merit is made over to you. That is the position you and I have." So positionally, you see, we're as righteous as Jesus Christ. I am sanctified. I am set apart positionally, from sin. I am set apart positionally before God. So that is my standing right now before God. And in 1 Corinthians 6:11, all of the verbs there, and by the way, it says, and such were some of you, all the verbs there in 6:11 speak of accomplished facts. I was sanctified. So it's something that happened to me at salvation. It is positional truth. So first of all, then, there is positional sanctification. But number two, we also have progressive sanctification. Let's see some passages that we have up here about those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, where the Bible deals with this particular subject. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality." Now, notice this is not something in the past, it's something now in the present. This is what is called progressive sanctification. And notice it involves how a Christian lives now. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. In fact, he says in verse 4. "So this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality." So my present issue of sanctification involves being separated from sexual immorality. That I would do this God's way. That, yes, it's fine in marriage, but it is not okay just to commit immorality. So again, that is part of my present sanctification. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Now, the word is not used in Philippians chapter 3, but the concept is there. And that's why it's an important verse to look at. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, I press on. He's talking here about progressive sanctification. In other words, growing each day. We might call this Christian growth. We might call this becoming more Christ-like. Or we might call it progressive sanctification. Each day becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with Him, maturing in our faith, Christian maturity, progressive sanctification, progressively becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, progressively becoming more holy. Question: how focused on progressive sanctification are you? And I understand it's the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, but I also understand that it involves us as well. Look at, we just saw it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. You couldn't give your body over to immorality and say, oh yes, God is making me more like Him. No, we still have to obey Him. We still have to do what's right. Yes, the Holy Spirit, if we live in sin, God is going to spiritually spank us. God is going to get us back in line again. A Christian can't sin and get away with it. But the fact is that a Christian can live in disobedience. And yes, we can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives of progressively becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question for you is, are you becoming like Jesus Christ every day? Do you have some effort? Are you in God's Word every day? Are you in prayer every day? Are you serving Him? Are you telling others about Christ? Or are you saying to yourself, well, I hope the Holy Spirit's doing His job, because I'm not doing mine. John 17, 17 is another passage that refers to progressive sanctification. John chapter 17 and verse 17, a very familiar passage. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So what helps us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ according to this verse? The Word of God. The Word of God. If I am going to become more Christ-like every day, I'm going to have to spend time in God's Word. How about you? If I'm going to become more Christ-like every day, I've got to know what the Lord thinks about me. I have to know what the Lord teaches in His Word. I've got to spend time every day in the Bible. But do we? Progressive sanctification. Now notice that this term, progressive sanctification, does involve our experience. It is the progressive, continuing, experiential work of being set apart during the course of our Christian lives on earth, being set apart for God. It's the process of Christian growth. It is the process of becoming more Christ-like. We are to continually set ourselves apart to holy living. Remember, the word holy is related to the word sanctify. God says, be holy because I'm holy. We're to constantly be holy. Our effort needs to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sanctification is the work of God, yes. But we still have the responsibility as well. Philippians taught us that. But notice we are sanctified by the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 tells us, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So God is the one who does the sanctification according to this text. Yes. But understand, Philippians chapter 3, that we, and as well as our first passage we saw, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we are still to put effort into it. It isn't we just sit back, let go, and let God. No, we have to obey Him. So the question is, as we have seen, John 17:17, sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. Do you spend time in the word of God each day? It's the only way we can become more Christ-like. Are you taking that seriously? I hope you are. We notice number three, the third type of sanctification is called ultimate sanctification. And we'll speak more of it in all three of them in just a moment. We're going to see a chart about this in just a moment. But let's look at ultimate sanctification first so that we're familiar with it. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Notice sanctify and cleansing, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, there's the related word, and blameless. So the idea here is not past sanctification. The idea is not present sanctification. Obviously, this is something in the future. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This is talking about the future day when we stand before God and we are perfect before him. There is coming a day when we will be entirely sanctified. When I stand before Christ, the Bible tells me that I will be like him because I'll see him as he is. And in that day, I will be ultimately sanctified, entirely sanctified. I will be completely and eternally set apart for my God. It is, in essence, our glorification. Look at Jude 24 and 25. The concept is used here, but not the actual word once again. Jude 24 and 25. If I can get my pages to turn. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So the Bible makes very plain that there's coming a day when I will be ultimately glorified, when I will experience ultimate sanctification. I will stand completely and eternally set apart for God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, although not up on our overhead here, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says plainly, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is." So in that passage, we see plainly that someday we're going to stand before God, we're going to see him, Jesus Christ, as he is, and we will be like him, according to the text. I want us to notice on our chart here, notice positional, progressive, and ultimate sanctification. Notice positional sanctification, past point, past tense. It's referring to spiritual birth when I was born again, all right? Born physically, born spiritually, all right? So past point, spiritual birth. In progressive sanctification, it is a present process. It's Christian growth is what it is. It is spiritual growth. Ultimate, there is a future point in ultimate sanctification, and it involves spiritual perfection. That is, again, when I stand before God someday and I will be ultimately sanctified. And then positional sanctification, salvation from the penalty of sin. It involves, in fact, it's intimately connected with the word salvation. When I was saved from the penalty of sin, that was my positional sanctification. Progressive sanctification, salvation from the power of sin. That is daily living for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working in my heart, being in the Word of God every day, having the Holy Spirit work in my heart and help me to grow. Then there's ultimate sanctification. That is salvation from even the very presence of sin. Because you see, someday I will be separated from sin for eternity. And that is the ultimate sanctification. Notice in positional sanctification, it is, I have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. In progressive sanctification, I am being saved. James chapter 1, verse 21. By the way, 1 Corinthians talks about that tense as well. And then ultimate sanctification, I will be saved. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. So it's, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. So there are the three tenses of salvation and the three tenses of sanctification. And so that's what that is what Scripture teaches. It kind of gives you a nice, compact way of looking at it. Then we look at the agents of sanctification. The agents of sanctification. All persons in the Trinity are involved in sanctification as well as believers. But notice, first of all, in positional sanctification. Okay, I thought I had something there, but apparently I did not. Huh. Okay. All right. I thought I did, but anyhow. All right, in positional sanctification. Look with me, if you would, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, beloved brethren, by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Notice we see here in verse number 13, it says, the Lord, because he's chosen you from the beginning, through sanctification, notice, by the Spirit. So in positional sanctification, according to 2 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit is the one to sanctify. And we have a responsibility to have faith in the truth, obviously, to place our faith in Jesus Christ. But it's still God, it's still the Holy Spirit of God, who works in us in order to accomplish that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Hebrews 10:10, notice that Christ's death is the basis for this form of sanctification. So in progressive sanctification, in positional sanctification, the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies, and notice that it's Christ's death that is the basis of this form of sanctification. Notice number two, there's also not only positional sanctification, but progressive sanctification. And now it's spitting out different verses. I didn't. Okay, well, good enough. It's gotten ahead of me a little bit. And the Bible reveals several agents involved with this form of sanctification. Notice, first of all, it's the Father through the Word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer. He is praying to the Father. And notice he is addressing him. And we see here that the Father, through the Word, is the individual who is involved with progressive sanctification. We also find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father through the Word, but let's notice number two, it's the Son. Christ's death is the basis for us being able to progress in our sanctification. We see, first of all, John 17 and verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus Christ again praying in John 17. And then in Romans chapter 6, we won't take the time to do that, verses 1 through 13. But we see here the Son is involved with our progressive sanctification. And then, sorry about my throat. I knew it might come and go. And then number three, the Holy Spirit. He is the prominent one in progressive sanctification. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And so, in progressive sanctification, the Holy Spirit is the prominent one in progressive sanctification. And then we notice our last form of, the fourth one, rather, I should say, in this, is also the believer in progressive sanctification. In other words, we have to obey God's commandments in order to progress in our Christian lives. It doesn't just happen automatically. In Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 19, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And he goes on, I am speaking in human terms. Because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So we have the responsibility in our sanctification too. Yes, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Yes, it is Jesus Christ working in our lives. We could say all of these things. But the fact is that God wants us to obey his commandments, and that's the only true way to progress in our spiritual lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement, flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So once again, we're involved with this process. Christian, are you involved in the process? Are you in God's Word? Are you obeying God's Word each day? Are you walking with Him? When we withhold areas of our lives from God's control and live as we please, that is carnality. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Being yielded to God and spirit filling is crucial to our sanctification, progressive sanctification. Charles Ryrie said this, yet the believer must faithfully discharge his or her responsibilities in sanctification. When we present ourselves as slaves to righteousness, sanctification results. We must obey the commands and exhortations of the Christian life in order to progress in holiness. To withhold or withdraw areas of our lives from God's desired sanctification for us will result in our being controlled by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. This will result in the believers being carnal in those unyielded or rebellious areas. Carnality exhibits the characteristics of the unsaved life because of being controlled by the flesh. Thus, yieldedness, spirit filling, which means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, remember? And the sanctifying process are involved in setting us apart more and more to the image of Christ. Yes, God does it, but yes, we're responsible. Yes, we have to be in God's word. Yes, we have to obey. Yes, we have to tell our members no or yes. It has to be God who is in control of our bodies, and we surrender it to Him, but then we have to obey Him. So the believer is also involved in this area. And then notice in ultimate sanctification, the agents of sanctification, in ultimate sanctification, we find that in Jude 24 and 25. Who is the one who will present us? Now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. It's God. It's God who will present us. God is the one who will present us through Jesus Christ. He will present us blameless. So God and Jesus Christ here are the agents in this form of sanctification. Look, as we've seen this topic of sanctification, there's a couple of areas I want to draw your attention to before we close. Number one, in past sanctification, it means that you have been saved. And so my question for you this morning is, have you been saved? Do you know that if you died today that you'd go to heaven? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been set apart for Him, positionally. You have been set apart for Him and set apart from sin and set apart to God for eternity. Again, it is positional truth because I don't always act that way. But I am a saint. I am set apart. It's also true that I am progressively, should be, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my question for you about progressive sanctification is, are you obeying God? Yes, it's God's, the Holy Spirit's work within us, but it's also my work as well because I've got to obey Him. I've got to obey what He tells me. I've got to walk by means of the Spirit. So my second question, the first question, are you saved? There I'm talking about positional sanctification. Number two, are you walking with God? There I'm talking about progressive sanctification. Are you living for Him? Do you have some area of your life that you are withholding from Him this morning? Let me just say very simply, you need to give it over to Him. Whatever sin you may be coddling in your heart right now, it needs to be confessed to the Lord, and you need to give that thing over to Him. And then, of course, there's ultimate sanctification as well. We're looking forward to that someday. But let me ask you a question. When He comes again, will you stand before Him with joy? Or will you, as 1 John says, will you shrink back in shame? Lord, I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't ready. I wasn't living for you. I wasn't being faithful with what you've given to me. Oh, Lord, don't come yet, but it's too late. What is your attitude in these three areas of sanctification this morning? Are you walking with him? Are you saved? And are you looking forward to the time when we will become like the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray together.